So I'm going to start. So on Tuesday, I presented to you a language for expressing plans. That's actions that get you from states to goals, where goals are descriptions of states. And what we're going to do today is look at how you can search the space in order to construct a plan that gets you from the state you're in to the goal. And like on Tuesday, we're still in this highly idealized world where the agent knows everything there is to know and nothing ever goes wrong in this world. Actions always do achieve the effects that they're supposed to achieve, and nothing ever changes unless the agent acts in the world. All right, so we're going to look at two different kinds of search algorithms in this idealized planning paradigm. One searches over spaces. In fact, one of them really is searching over partial descriptions of states, and the other is partial order planning, which searches over plans. All right, so let's start with state space search. So the most sort of straight, and it's the most straightforward way to think about search in order to construct a plan, but it's also the stupidest. Without heuristics is completely impractical. Okay, so what you're doing then is you're searching the space of states where basically you construct a tree where the arcs in the tree represent changes to the world that would happen if you were to perform particular actions. And there are two methods. One's called forward state space search. So with that one, the root of your tree is the initial state. That's the one you're in. And so from that tree, from that root, you create arcs for every action that's executable in that state. And the children states will then be the states you would be in were you to perform that action. So you basically use the effects list on the action to work out what you've got to add to the state and what you've got to delete from it. Backward state space, so then you've got a tree, and then you can search that tree, right? Backward state space search, instead of starting with the root that's the initial state you're in, starts with the goal state. Now, maybe the observant among you can already see that's trouble. Can anyone think why? What is the goal state? Yeah, yeah, exactly. So there are like a gazillion states that satisfy my goals. So if you were really to work directly on states with backward state space search, then you wouldn't have one route, you'd have loads of them. If my only goal is to be happy, well, I mean, that state can pertain, that condition in my well-being can pertain in a million states, right? I could be, in Greece, I could be here, I could be, you know, whatever, right? So, in fact, backward state space search is going to be a search where the nodes are partial descriptions of states. So here's what they look like. And at the moment, the backward state space search, which is part B, is looking like states. But we'll see in a minute, we'll relax that. So this A tree is basically, the root is the initial state you're in. So what we have here are two individuals that are at an airport. P1 and P2 are at an airport. And so there are two actions you could perform in this state. One is to fly P1 to B, one is to fly P2 to B, and that generates a new state, okay? Now, if your goal, on the other hand, were to have both planes at B, then that would be your route. Now, here, in the forward planning diagram on the top there, part A, why am I using my hands when I've got this? Sorry. The cause effects are going in the direction of the arrows, but don't be confused. This is the direction of search, okay? And the backward state space search, the action is going in this direction, right? It's from this state that you head towards the goal. So this specifies what the preconditions would have to be for this action to achieve this state, okay? But the direction of search is still going in the direction of the arrows, Okay? So basically, the only actions that you put ox out of from your goal state are those that change at least one of the literals in your goal state. Whereas here, you put an arc for each executable action. Okay? So here, you're only going to consider relevant actions. Right? Because there may be loads of actions that would result in this state, like my eating a sandwich would, you know, keep the planes where they are. But that's an irrelevant action, and it's irrelevant in the sense that it doesn't create one of these, it doesn't make one of these true. Okay, so you don't get an arc out of here with me eating a sandwich. Okay? All right. So forward state space search is also called progression planning for obvious reasons. And as I said, the initial state, that root in the tree, is the initial state you're in. You set up a tree structure where you just make a daughter node for every executable action from that state. And then you can apply your favorite search method over the tree to look for a sequence of actions that will get you from that initial state to the goal state, where the goal test is essentially checking whether the state that you're in, given the method of which you're searching this tree, satisfies the goal or not. Remember, the goal is a partial description. And if you were using something like some kind of cost-based search method, then you'd assume a step cost of one every time. In other words, each action costs you one, okay? If you were looking for some kind of optimal solution on this. So if you can find that kind of costing would give you the minimal number of actions for getting from the initial state to a goal. Okay, now, the problem is that while the search space might be finite in the absence of function symbols, it's really going to be an awful space to search because a lot of irrelevant stuff, you're going to search a lot of irrelevant stuff. So, you know, maybe my goal state has nothing to do with plane two, nothing. I mean, I don't care where plane two is or what it does, right? Maybe all I care about is the plane being, plane one being at B. And yet, if that's my initial state, I'm going to go shooting down this plane two action and explore it. And I'm wasting my time, right? So progression based search, because what you're considering is all the executable actions from a given state, and you kind of have to because you never know where the solution is going to be, if that's the way your tree is structured, it creates these massively branching trees. And that's kind of horrible, and I really do mean massively branching. So if you've got 20 pieces of cargo that you want to transport to from one airport to the other, and you've got 10 airports and you've got 5 planes and 20 pieces of cargo. And so these 5 planes, why 50 planes? I don't know. Anyway, they can fly to 9 pet airports each. You're basically looking to the order of this number of nodes in your tree, 41 being 50 times 9. And, you know, whereas the solution is really trivial. Right. So the tree is just full of nodes that you really shouldn't care about and arcs you really shouldn't care about. And backwards state space search is designed to solve that problem by only creating arcs in your tree if the action that generates that arc is somehow relevant in the way that I said. Okay? But like I said, what you're searching over now is not really states because if you were, then you wouldn't have a rooted tree because your goal description can be satisfied by many states. So now your nodes are going to be these descriptions. You're going to start with a goal description and generate out from that all the actions that would make one of the literals in that goal description true. It means that the daughter states will also be descriptions and not actual states. I'll show you an example in a minute. Now, with regression planning, they still assume, you'll still end up with an infinite tree if you're allowed to undo things that were part of the goal, right? So it's not just that the action that you generate out from a node has to make a literal true that you want true, but it mustn't make a literal false that's part of the goal, okay? You can't undo good stuff you've done. Now, think about that. That's actually a problem because it means that this search space will only work for what's known as linear plans. Those are a suite of planning problems where every action gets you nearer to the goal. And it's very easy, even in the blocks world, to think of actions where that's not true. So if my initial state is this, okay, and I want my goal state to be this, can everyone see that? What do I have to do? Anybody? What are the sequence of actions that get me from here to here? Yes. I want to perform actions on these blocks, right? So that instead of the blocks looking like that, they look like this. What sequence of actions do I have to perform to get from the blocks looking like that to like that? Yeah.
Put B and A on top of C.
Yeah. Break it down. What do I have to do? Yes! Yes, what you have to do is do this. B, A, C, right? Because I can't put A on top of C if it's got a block on it. A's got to be clear. Then I put C on A, right? B's left alone. And then, I get to my goal state, right? Look at this guy, what it does, okay? Now, the goal state is B is on A and A is on C. I had B on A here and I undid it. I had to undo it, right? So part of the goal had to be undone. So if you are performing, if the tree that you're generating doesn't let you undo good stuff, then that tree will never give you a solution to this. Okay? All right. Anyway, in the flying domain, it's not so bad. Okay, so here's an example with regression planning. So suppose we've got bits of cargo at some airport B, right? No, that's what we want, right? We want all the cargo, there's 20 bits of cargo at airport B. So it means that for every action coming out of this state, it's got to make at least one of these true. So let's think about making at C1B true. What you do is you go back to your action descriptions and you think about, and you look in the effects list for something that you can resolve to at C1B, right? So they could be variables. In fact, they probably almost certainly will be variables. But when you resolve those variables to C1 and B, boom, you have an action that has this effect. What you do then is take that action, create an arc from it, and the daughter node is the preconditions to that action with those resolutions, right? And basically, it's the unloading cargo one at B that would do it, which had the preconditions that that cargo is in a plane, never mind what plane, some variable plane, little p, which is at B. Okay. So I haven't resolved p at this point. I haven't said which plane I'm going to use at this point. I've just generated a child state description from this action that makes at C1B true. And you do the same for C2B and so on and so on. Then with this guy, you'd generate a plan, you generate an arc for an action that makes at least one of those guys true, and you keep going until you can resolve it with a literal in your initial state. Okay, so that's how you generate the tree. So eventually you will get to an initial state, you know, to a node that actually is your initial state, right? And there you stop. And then you search the tree for an optimal guy. Okay? So, well, that's what I've just said. So both of these spaces, these trees, are just too big to search without some heuristics. And there are basically two strategies for creating heuristics for these. One is to divide and conquer, and another is to create the relaxed problem. Divide and conquer amounts to taking your goal, which is like a conjunct of literals, and decomposing them, right? So you are essentially saying that the more sub-goals you've created, you've made true, the nearer you are to the goal. So you use this in conjunction with A star. However, it will be admissible only if at most negative interactions exist among the actions. In other words, that a given action doesn't undo some goal you've already achieved, okay? In the domain you're thinking of, which if in the blocks domain ain't true, okay? And it's inadmissible, as in it's too pessimistic, if there's one action that makes more than one literal in your goal true. Because then you're saying, you know, I'm one away from the goal when it, well, I'm two away from the goal when in fact you're only one away from the goal, right? And that's not good, right? A A-star heuristic should never, ever overestimate how much it's going to cost you to get to the goal. So that's sub-goal decomposition. Relaxation, there are three alternatives. One is to drop all preconditions on your actions, okay? Which makes all actions always applicable. And then you just sort of combine them. And you use sub-goal independence to make, can make prediction even easier. But like I said, you know, you're not always in a planning space where you can assume sub-goal independence. Or you can remove all the negative effects. That makes the planning problem easier as well, will be admissible, right? Or you can take an empty delete list approach, which involves running a simple planning problem over the heuristic value. It's a much more sophisticated approach for computing the heuristic that you'll use together with A star. So these relaxations will always be optimistic, basically. They will always be admissible in a way that sub-goal decomposition won't be. All right, but anyway, it's what you're producing with these trees are always linearizations, completely linear plans. I'm telling you what to do before, what else to do. It's a total order on the actions. And quite often, the planning problem you're dealing with, some of the relative orderings of the actions that you should perform in the world don't matter because their causes and effects, their preconditions and their effects, don't interfere with each other at all. And so in progressive and regressive planning, search for planning, you're kind of making complex decisions that you don't need to make. And partial order planning is designed to avoid that, okay? It's a least commitment approach where what you do is you build a sort of partial description of the plan, essentially, a bunch of constraints. I need to do this action, I need to do that action, that action's got to happen before that action, but I'm not telling you when this other action I've got to do has to happen, okay? And so you're building this sort of partial order of the actions that you need to do. And as a result, any linearization of that partial order is a solution to your problem. And you're searching the plan space when you're building this partial order, because what you're doing is you're searching over ordering constraints on actions, okay? As well as the transitions among those states. In other words, as taking into account what those actions do, right? You're searching with that combination of stuff. So here is a perfectly good partial order plan for putting your shoes and socks on, okay? So Which way round does it go? Socks have to go on before shoes, okay? But it doesn't matter if I do my right foot first and then my left, or if I put both my socks on before I put both my shoes on, or if I put my left sock on before my right sock. Yeah, those things don't matter. All that matters is that before you put a shoe on, you've got your sock on that foot, okay? So that's expressed by this guy, right? This is saying, at the start, I have two options. One's to put the left sock on, and the other's to put the right sock on. And I can take any order, any sort of direction of arrows through this guy, right? So I could go right sock, right shoe, finish. Right sock, left shoe, right shoe, finish, and so on. I can do them in any order, so long as I respect those arrows. Okay? And so basically, there are six linearizations of this thing, all right? So putting your shoes and socks on, there are six different optimal plans, but this is a compact representation of all six of them.
You should have both shoes in your legs, and then partial...
Both shoes in my legs?
Yeah.
What?
You just have the right shoe or the left shoe, not both of them in partial order planning.
The right shoe or the left shoe? What?
You go from start to your right sock.
I can put my right sock on. No, I can put my right, this is saying I can put my right sock, then I can put my left sock. That's allowed because I don't have an arrow telling me that I can't put the left sock, that I have to put the left sock before the right sock. Okay? So I can traverse non-arrows on this. What I can't do is put the right shoe before the right sock. Why? Because I've got an arrow between them going in the other direction. That's the way to read this. Does that answer your question? No. What was your question?
But then you have to go from start to left sock. Because you have an arrow.
You have to go from start, left sock, and then left shoe, and then finish. So
No. You're reading this wrong. Take those four actions, stick them in any order that respects the arrows on them. They all have to happen after start. They've all got to happen before finish. And right, left sock has to happen before left shoe. Right sock has to happen before right shoe. That's it. Okay? So I can go, I don't have to sort of go along the arrows as I create this linearization. I have to respect the constraints supplied by the arrows. Do you get it? Anyone confused? Okay. All right, so a partial order plan actually looks different. It doesn't look like an action sequence because it's a partial description. So it consists of four things. The first is your actions that are part of your plan. The second is ordering constraints on them. So, for example, this... A precedes B. Here in this diagram, one exemplar of that would be right sock precedes right shoe. Another would be start precedes right sock, start precedes right shoe as well. Okay? And then you've got these causal links that you mustn't break. The way to read this, so A and B are actions and P is some literal, okay, is, in fact in general this is a set of literals, is that A makes P true and I need P as a precondition for B. Okay, so I better not stick some action C in there that makes P false, right, in between A and B. So it means that whenever you add a new action C to your list of actions as you kind of incrementally build up this partial plan. If C's got an effect, not P, you're in an inconsistent state if C happens in between A and B. So you've got to make it not happen in between A and B. In other words, either C is going to have to happen before A or after B. Don't let it interfere with that P that you're making true so that you can do B. Okay? And
And finally, you've got a set of open preconditions, which at the start of the algorithm will be your goal description. What you're aiming for is for it to be empty. Once it's empty, you're done. You've got your plan, or a partial order plan. And then any linearization of those actions that respects these ordering constraints is a good plan, okay? All right, so here's the right sock, right shoe business in that sort of in this notational variant of that diagram, right? So you've always got these actions start and finish because the algorithm makes you have them. You've got to have them because you want to, you'll see why. You'll see why when we go through an example why they're useful. So these two actions, start and finish. Start has the effect, an effect that is equivalent to your initial state. Finish has its preconditions of the goal. Okay? And then I've got my actions, right sock, right shoe, left sock, left shoe. This is telling me my right sock's got to go on before my right shoe, left sock before the left shoe. And actually this is sort of, these causal links you'll see in the algorithm are what can create those ordering constraints. The right sock is ordered before right shoe because it makes sure my right sock is on, which is required for me to perform this action, right shoe. And similarly with left sock on left shoe. Right shoe comes before finish and left shoe has to come before finish. Okay? And no preconditions. Now it's a consistent plan because there are no cycles in these orderings, and a solution is any consistent plan without open preconditions, any linearization is a good plan to execute. Okay? All right, so here's the algorithm. Your initial plan consists of just start and finish with the orderings that you've got to start before you finish. Okay? And there are no links, no ordering constraints, no other actions, but you have, as your open preconditions, the preconditions to finish, which is your goal state, okay? Now, you pick some literal from that goal state, and you look for an action that would generate it, okay? And you add it. Now, So you pick P from the open preconditions on some action B. So at the start, that would be the literal, one literal from the goal, which is the preconditions of finish. These would be the only open preconditions at the start. And you generate a consistent successor plan, in other words, an action A that would achieve it. And you make sure of consistency by adding this causal link and this linearization to the plan. If A is new, you add it to that set up here. Otherwise, if A was already in here, you just add these constraints. And you resolve conflicts where you've created them. So if there's some existing action already in here that is conflicting with this causal link you've created, so some action C, for example, that makes not P true, then you order C after this thing that you don't want interfered with or before it. And the goal test is to see if the open preconditions is empty. Once it is, you're done. Okay, let's go through an example. All right, so this is an initial state in which I've got a flat tire, but I've got a spare in my trunk, and I want to get that spare onto my axle, right? Right now, the flat's on my car axle, okay? And I want to replace a wheel, okay? Now, there are several actions in this world. One is that I can remove the spare from the trunk. The preconditions for that is that it is in the trunk before I remove it. And after I remove it, it's not in the trunk anymore, it's on the ground. Okay? I can remove the flat from the axle. Similarly, the flat's got to be at the axle before I perform this action. And after I've performed it, it's not on the axle anymore, it's on the ground. I can put the spare on the axle. It's got to be on the ground before I do it. And the flat not on the axle anymore. And the effects of this action is the spare's no longer on the ground, but it is on the axle instead. And finally, in this horrible world, if I leave my car overnight, which has no preconditions, I live in a really poor neighborhood, right? Really dreadful, lots of crime, everything gets stolen. Okay? Right. So let's work out a plan for replacing my car in this world. Okay? So my open condition, so we start with start and finish and the linearization. I've got to start before I finish. And my goal state consists of, a goal description consists of just this one literal that the spares on my axle. So that's the only open precondition at this point. So now what I need to look for is an action whose effects I can resolve with at spare axle. In fact, there are no variables here, so you know I don't even have to consider resolution. And hurrah, here's one. In fact, it's the only one that has at spare axle. It makes it true. So I am going to add put on spare axle to my plan list. Okay? And what's more, so there it is, I have to add this causal link to finish, right? Because this is the thing that's making at spare axle the precondition to finish true so that I can perform finish. Okay? So there's my linear order is also added, and this causal link. Now, this has a bunch of preconditions, right? Where are we? We're here. The spare's got to be on the ground, and the axle, the flat not on the axle. Okay? So there they are. These are now added to my open precondition set according to the algorithm. This one's removed, but this one's added, so I've still got work to do. Now, let's look at spare ground, first of all. What are ways of making at spare ground true? I search through my effect list for each of my actions, and I see removing the spare from the trunk will work. There's at spare ground and its effect. And so I'm going to add that action to my list and create a causal link between that and put on spare axle, which is the thing that needs this to be true to be performed. Okay, so there it is. So at the moment, there's not a lot of partial order going on here. Okay, now I'm going to make not flat axle true. And just to show you how this works, I'm going to be perverse about it and use leave overnight to do it. Okay, which I can because there's not at flat axle in its effects list. And it has no preconditions. So you think, hurrah, I'm not going to add to my preconditions list. Of course, you won't be surprised to hear you end up with trouble doing that. So here's leave overnight with all its effects, okay? And sure enough, it's making at flat axle true, but it's also, oops, making not at spare ground true, which conflicts with this guy, right? So I've got to order this whole thing before remove spare trunk or after put on spare axle. Why can't I order it after? Why does it have to be before remove spare trunk? Why can't I put it after, why can't I put a linearization where leave overnight happens after put on spare axle? It would conflict with that. So then I would have to put it after finish as well. And I can't. Nothing comes after finish. Okay, so it's got to go before remove spare trunk. Okay, so but that's trouble as well, because I've still got this open precondition at spare trunk on this guy, and the only thing that can make it true, whoops, where are we, is the start state. Why? Because none of my actions make at spare trunk true. Okay, I don't have at spare trunk in any of these effects, any of them. In other words, it's not an option. I can't go buy another spare and stick it in my trunk, is what I'm saying. That's just not an action available to me. If it were, this, I could create a really crappy plan, actually. But anyway, I've made it not available to me. What would the crappy plan be if I could go buy a new spare? Yeah, so I'd go to all this trouble, stick it on the ground, blah, blah, leave it overnight, and then, you know, I'm back to where I started, only worse, because I don't have a spare in the trunk anymore. Go buy a spare. God help me if I decide to leave it overnight again. You know, I could be here forever. anyway, as I've set up this problem, whoops, I'm going the wrong way, that's not an option. So actually, there is no consistent way of adding leave overnight to this plan. And so I drop it, right, I backtrack. And that, so you end up with this state. And so I'm gonna have to find another way, another action for making not flat axle true. I really should have two screens for this, sorry. And all right, so we tried overnight, leave overnight, and that was horrible. I mean, we ended up backtracking, so can't consider that anymore. I need another effect with not flat axle in it. Here's one. So I'm gonna remove the flat from the axle. Okay, there it is. And I add that causal link because I mustn't interfere with this precondition to putting on the spare that this is enabling. And the precondition to remove flat axle is at flat axle, which is made true by the effects of start, and at spare trunk is made true by the effects of start as well, so I'm done. So there is a little bit of partial order and orderiness in here, right? Which is, it doesn't matter what I do first, removing the spare from the trunk or removing the flat from the axle, either plan would do. But I've got to do both of those before I stick the spare on the axle. Okay? Any questions? So what about unbound variables? I mean, that was a sort of slightly simpler example because it had no variables. Well, suppose we're back in the blocks world and what we want to do is achieve that A is on B. Then moving the move action, this action will create that literal. It'll make it true if B resolves to A and Y resolves to B, okay? So it means that when I apply that action, I should replace all my B's and my Y's with A and B, big A and big B respectively, right? So it means that the precondition is that A is clear, big B is clear, and B is on something. Now, I haven't said anything about X, and I still don't say anything about X, okay? Basically, you're applying this substitution, and it will remain unspecified until I come to a point where I need to specify it for some other reason. To maintain consistency, for example, would be one reason why I might want to do that, as you'll see in another on the next slide. So this is another aspect of this kind of least commitment. I am a commitment phobe. I don't want to tell you which order I'm going to do things in. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do until I absolutely bloody have to, because you know, I'll be in an inconsistent state unless I sort of pin my colours to the mast and say I'm going to do this. Okay, it's this least commitment thing. I delay every decision to the last second. Okay, so for example, this is what using that action to create your goal would be. Right, would create this causal link. Suppose there's another action, you know, because this isn't all your goal. There's other things in the goal that has this effect, not on A of Z, then to make it consistent with this, one thing you could do was make sure that Z isn't B, basically, right? So you can add inequality constraints to this, all right? So, and likewise, if for some reason you want to you know, if A at the start was on a block C, then when your result, this would be, there'd be an open precondition on AX, which you could resolve by making X equal to C with the initial state, right? Okay, so you just leave resolution to the last possible second, and it's another way of not committing yourself. But it's really hard to devise heuristics for partial order planning, which is why it sort of went out of favor for a long time, but now it's sort of coming back into favor a little bit, and people are working out clever ways of doing heuristics for these things. All right, so to summarize, you've seen essentially two kinds of search here, state-space search and this partial order planning, where you're searching the plan space rather than the state space. And with state-space search, there's a forwards way of going, where you start in the initial state and you create a tree with all the executable actions from any state to create the children, and then you use your favorite search algorithms over that. But A*STAR doesn't always work with that. It depends on the particular planning problems you're working on, whether you can think up a quantifiable, admissible heuristic or not. With backward state search, you're actually creating a tree where each node is a partial description of a state rather than a state itself. It has the advantage that you're only considering relevant actions. You're not, you know, thinking about making yourself a sandwich when actually your goals have nothing to do with eating, but to replace, you know, spare tires or whatever it is. It has similar problems in terms of heuristics. And then we looked at this least commitment approach of partial order planning. What we're going to start doing, actually what we're going to continue doing for the rest of the course, is gradually relax these highly idealized assumptions we've made about actions having deterministic effects that never go wrong, that I know everything there is to know, you know, at any state. I am like all seeing with eyes in the back of my head. We're going to gradually relax those, starting with a symbolic approach to those, which can handle bounded indeterminacy perfectly well, and gradually going probabilistic to deal with real uncertainty in unbounded environments, where the level of uncertainty, you can be uncertain in unbounded number of ways about what's going on. Okay? Any questions? All right, see you tomorrow.